go to God in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, I pray that you'd open our ears now to hear what you want us to hear. And God, that you would let your Holy Spirit, have your Holy Spirit speak through me, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for that. In your wonderful, precious name, amen. Well, last Sunday I talked about Psalm 22. And Garrett, if you would put up on the board here that Psalm 22 that was read today, that portion of Scripture 9 through I think 21. Psalm 22, as I shared last Sunday, is a picture of the crucifixion of Jesus. God gave this picture to King David, and King David wrote this. And how did he know this? How did he know enough to write about the crucifixion that Jesus would go through? Well, the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told King David what to write. And then King David went on and wrote the 23rd Psalm, which you all know, and the 24th Psalm. He wrote many of the Psalms, but the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th Psalm go right together. The 22nd Psalm is about the crucifixion. The 23rd Psalm is about Jesus as our shepherd here on earth. We're living in that time of the 23rd Psalm. And the 24th Psalm is all about Jesus' return and setting up his kingdom. 22, 23, 24. Prophetic Psalms. When Jesus was on the cross, the first thing he said in Psalm 22, verse 1, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Oh, it wasn't the first thing he said, but it was the first line of Psalm 22. And in the Jewish mind, they had memorized so many portions of the Bible, and they'd memorized the Psalms, which was their songbook. And all a person had to say is the first line of a psalm, and the Jews knew exactly what followed. In Hebrew, Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. When we read it, it sounds like Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And the Jews knew immediately that this was a picture of the crucifixion as they went down and looked at it. And they didn't like it. They didn't like it that here, right before their eyes, Psalm 22 was taking place. And when somebody doesn't like something that they hear, what do? If you're talking to someone and they're starting to talk about things you don't want to hear, what do you do? What's that? Well, I walk away. Jesus couldn't. Well, he couldn't walk away. But what people usually do is they change the subject. I know sometimes it's happened to me. I'm talking to somebody, and all of a sudden the subject gets changed. I don't want to hear it anymore. And sometimes somebody might be talking to me, and I'll change the subject. Oh, it's great weather out there, isn't it? The Jews couldn't handle it. And so they changed the subject and they said, he's calling for Elijah. This has nothing to do with the 22nd Psalm. He's calling for Eliyahu, Elijah, Eli, Eli. And they could get their mind off of the picture of the 23rd Psalm. Well, last week we went through verses 1 through 8. And now Jesus is on the cross and Psalm 22 goes on. Yet you are he who took me from the womb, you made me trust you at my mother's breasts. And we know from Isaiah, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was God's son, born in a human body. And Garrett, let's go on to the next verse. On you I was cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Even as Jesus was placed in the womb by the Holy Spirit as a person, God was his God. The Father was his God. The Father was his God before he was a man. But as he was placed to become a man, from the very beginning of conception, God the Father is his God. Thank you, Garrett. Go on to the next verse. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Jesus is on the cross, and he calls out to God, and he says, don't be so far from me, because I have no one else to help me. There was no one there that would take Jesus down from that cross. There was no one there that would help him. All he had was God. And sometimes we may feel that way. People say, well, there's nothing I can do anymore but pray. Well, that's pretty powerful. But God is there for us. But here he is on the cross, and there's no one there but God to help him. Garrett, would you give me the next one? Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. Now, we know there were no bulls or cows at the crucifixion, at least we think so. But he says, many bulls encompass me. Bulls were always, the term bulls was always went along with the rabbis. Whenever you thought of the bulls, the rabbis were there. The priests were there. But he talks about the strong bulls of Bashan. Bashan was an area in northeastern Israel that was noted for its cattle. And they raised big, strong cattle. But they were also kind of wild. And Bashan was also a place in Israel that the Jews considered to have evil spirits. It was a place where a lot of evil took place. As you read the Bible, you'll read about Og of Bashan, the guy that was 9.5 feet tall and was a fighter against Israel. Up there by Bashan was Caesarea Philippi, which was the place where they worshipped the god Pan. And it was a portal to hell, is what Bashan was. And Jesus is there and he says, many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan could be referring to the evil spirits that the Jews believed lived in that area. The evil spirits are spirits. There you got religion. And there were many evil spirits around Jesus when he was being crucified. Strong bulls was also the meaning of that was also that it would come against someone who was weak and frail. And so here Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's not going to come down. No one's going to help him. And the evil spirits, the strong bulls of Bashan, encompass him. Garrett, would you move on to the next one? They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. Would you give me 1 Peter? They open wide their mouths. You had the religious leaders cursing him, the religious leaders mocking him, the evil spirits laughing at him, and like a roaring lion. And 1 Peter said, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He was talking about Satan. The devil is like a roaring lion. If we go back to Psalm 22 again. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. Satan was there at the crucifixion. And you see, when you read the Bible, when you see some words that are mentioned, and then they are explained some other place in the Bible, you know what they mean at this one where they're first mentioned. Because when they're mentioned over again and explained, you can go back to the first time that they're mentioned and get even a better understanding of what's going on. So right there at the cross, the strong bulls of Bashan, the evil spirits, the rabbis, and Satan himself, like a roaring lion, is there. Garrett, let's go to the next verse, 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, they looked at it and they said that his arms probably came out of joint. And they thought, they have said that, they've studied this and said that the arm could actually stretch another 4 inches longer than it is, pulling all the bones out of joint. And right there, Jesus said, all my bones are out of joint. I am poured out like water. My heart is like wax. Hanging on the cross, most people on the cross didn't die from the nails. They died from heart failure because they couldn't breathe and their heart couldn't pump and just gave out. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. Let's go to verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. He was thirsty. My tongue sticks to my jaws. Have you ever been so thirsty where your mouth just felt all dried out and you could hardly talk and everything felt like it was stuck together? Has that ever happened to anybody? I think it probably has. And you look so much forward to getting that drink of water. Well, there was one soldier that had mercy on Jesus, and he took a stick and with a sponge and dipped it in some vinegar with gall or myrrh to give it to him. But when Jesus tasted it, he didn't take it because myrrh was a painkiller, and Jesus was not there to lessen his pain. He was on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Garrett, go to 16. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. Right there, he's talking about the Roman soldiers. Do you remember that place in the Bible where this Canaanite woman came up to Jesus and wanted him to heal her daughter? And Jesus said, well, it's not right for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. And she says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the bread that falls from their master's table. And so Jesus gave her what she requested. In Israel at that time, Gentiles, a term for Gentiles was dogs. It was a terminology. And everybody knew when you use that term dog, you were talking about a Gentile. The Romans were not Jews. They were Gentiles. The Roman soldiers were Gentiles. And there it says, for Gentiles encompass me. And they were a company of evildoers who encircled him. Roman soldiers around him, crucifying him. Probably other Gentiles there. They have pierced my hands and feet. And it was the Roman soldiers, the Gentiles, that actually pierced his hands and his feet. Go on to verse 17. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. The people there were staring at him and mocking him, gloating over him. And Jesus could probably feel every bone in his body out of joint. 18, go to verse 18. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And what did our gospel lesson say today? The soldiers divided his clothing into four parts. And then they came so that each soldier could get something. And then they came to his tunic, who was one solid piece, was the robe that went over him. And they said, wait a minute, we don't want to divide this. So let's cast lots. It was like casting dice. Let's cast lots to see who gets this piece of clothing. Wow. I wonder what happened to that person that began to wear the robe that Christ wore. Yeah, we'll probably find out someday. But anyway, how did David know that right there? Years before Christ was even born, the Holy Spirit told him. Verse 19. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Jesus is calling for help. Lord, help me. You know, a little earlier he had said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Please help me. Verse 20. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the Roman soldiers, from the power of the dog. And our next verse, 21, our last verse. Save me from the mouth of the lion. Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking someone who he can devour, eat, chew. Save me from the mouth of Satan. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. The wild oxen. Sometimes God refers to himself, his horns, the horns of an ox. And they were to destroy things. But in this case, the wild oxen and the horns of the wild oxen are a reference of the devil. Satan is like a wild oxen with horns. Isn't it interesting? You know, whenever you see a picture of the devil, you always see the horns. The horns are there to destroy people. Deliver me from the horns of the wild oxen. Well, God did deliver Jesus from the wild oxen. And he paid the price for our sins, and he saved us. And all we have to do, Jesus said, as we told little children, all the law and the prophets, all of the law and the prophets are summed up in two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what God calls us to do. Love him. Accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Love God and love people. And if we love God, we will accept Jesus as our Savior, because that's what God tells us to do. And if we accept Jesus as our Savior, we will begin to love other people. And Jesus paid the price for our sins. And by believing in him, we are saved. He just wants us to keep growing closer to him every day. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Jesus, thank you for paying the price for us on the cross. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for deciding to not sin, for deciding to bear our punishment. Lord, help us to decide not to sin. and help us to decide to live more perfectly for you. And we ask this all in your wonderful, precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord.